have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
And you're down for the count. You feel like life has thrown you blows, and God ain't been around. But I've come to encourage you to hold your head high. Know that God is in your corner now. Inner life, you are a winner, you just can't lose. Overcame more than a conqueror, Jesus in you. You are a winner, you are born to win. More than a conqueror, power within. You are a winner. Somebody saying to me now, you just don't understand. No, I understand you very. Where I've been, so I come to encourage you, pull you up by your hand. Know that God is in your corner now, just accept it's his plan. And you are a winner, you just can't lose.
Hello, I'm Pastor Loretta Petit, host of The Loretta Petit Show, Women Winning at Life from Ministry to Marketplace. I'm a preacher, teacher, and soul reacher. I am a veteran broadcaster as well as an author. Listen, our broadcast, this podcast, it is about you and me as Christian women, how to rise above, to live, laugh, love, and live our best life. It's inspirational, educational, and relational. Tap a sister, tell her, tune in. You guys lock it in Thursdays from 5:30 until 6 Central Time. That's 5:30 until 6 p.m. only on Elation Radio.
Hey, hey, hey. Good evening, everybody. Praise the Lord. God is good and God is good all of the time. Well, it is Thursday and we are thankful. We give God all glory, honor, and praise, for God alone is worthy. No matter what we feel like, no matter what kind of day we've had, it just doesn't matter. God is worthy of our praise. Sometimes we understand things. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we are elated. Sometimes we're not. But God is still worthy. Amen. So let's remember to always give him praise. Give him honor. Hallelujah. Well, it is time for prayer. We have a guest with us today. We're going to get to her in just a moment. But first, let's invite the Lord in. Hallelujah. We know he's everywhere, but it's not uncommon, amen, for us to give a welcome mat to someone we want to know that you are definitely an integral part of what we do. So that's why we, of course, go to God in prayer. Father, we come now to thank you for this blessed opportunity. We honor your holy name, Father, for you said from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your name is worthy to be praised. And so, God, we honor you today. We invite you in. Have your way, Lord God. Oh, God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord God. Guide my thoughts. Oh, God, guide the program on today and every weekday, oh, God, every Thursday, every week that we come together. We want to, of course, yield to you and allow others to be blessed. We ask that you touch the hearts and minds of those who may be listening and bless it in a special way. Somebody may be listening just for that one little answer. We pray, oh, God, today to be able to drop some nuggets that others may hear and grow by. We give your name the praise. We thank you for our awesome producer, Ms. Kimmy Kim. Continue to bless her life and her endeavors. It is in the name of Jesus. We also pray a special blessing upon the Elation family. God, we thank you now. And we give your name the honor, the glory that it deserves. It is in the name of Jesus we say amen and thank God. Well, hallelujah once again to my Father. And, of course, I want to give a shout-out to Jerry Royce on today. He's making some moves, I'm telling you. Yes, indeed. And we thank you for connecting to all that we do here. On today, we have a woman who is, of course, making her positive impact. She's doing what God has empowered her to do. She's being a blessing where she is. We want to know a little bit more about her and about what she does, because this program is all about women making positive moves. It's about women winning at life from ministry to marketplace, because we know as women, we wear a lot of hats. Amen. So on today, our guest is a speaker I came across on another women-led program, and she was sharing about what she does. She is representing the Scrivener Shine Edits business. She is Ms. Therese Shine. Welcome to the program, Therese. Are you there?
Thank you. Thank you. I am.
Thank you. Hi, Therese. How are you doing today?
Thank you.
Well, that round of applause was for you, woman of God. We thank you for being with us today.
You're nice.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Amen. So, Therese, we've got a few questions for you on today. We want to get to know you a little bit better and, you know, what the Lord has called you to in this season. So, first and foremost, tell us who is the who you want us to know today.
Well, the Teresa that I want you and everyone else to know about is Teresa the survivor, not the victim. I was a victim of domestic violence for over 19 years, and it was so debilitating and so it was so hard that I ended up having an aneurysm on July 21st of 2009. As you all know, people do not normally survive aneurysms, but when I tell you that God was, he was in every single thing that happened that day, there's no way that I would be sitting here with you had I not. God, I knew it was one of those things where, let me tell you, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of stumbling right now, but when you introduced my business, Scrivener Shine Edits, I am a professional editor. I am a professional writer. I am definitely working on my book, and the book will be entitled You Can't Kill What's Already Dead. That book is going to be published in 2023. But what you have to understand about just God's goodness in that is that normally when a person has an aneurysm, they either die or there is residual damage that is so great that they lose a lot of their cognitive skills. I earned my master's degree after I had that aneurysm. And I am also an English professor. So when I tell you that God will see you through, Tim, because no one, first of all, I will tell you this about a domestic violence victim. Many people believe that it is just the physical violence, but it is not just physical. It was the emotional and mental abuse that almost killed me, because I had gotten to the point where I did not believe that I was worth anything. I did not believe. I didn't go into that marriage uneducated. I had a bachelor's degree when I went in. That is beside the point. The point is, it takes so many people believe that, you know, it, you know, she's smart, she's this, she wouldn't let this happen. Nobody lets it happen. No one lets it happen. I was one of those people where nobody believed that any of it was going on. And I have friends in Denver where I lived for 14 years and where a lot of it happened. They had no idea until I began telling my story after, way, way after the aneurysm, because the people, my girlfriends in Dallas, did not know. One of my girlfriends recognized it because she had gone through the same thing. But I will tell you that victims of domestic violence are masters of disguise. You will not know it 9 times out of 10, unfortunately, unless they end up dead or unless something causes them to tell you what's going on. No one knew in my case because I didn't have scars and bruises and stuff. He raped me twice, and that is one thing that I try my best to impress upon women. You can be raped by your husband. It was the exact same way it would have been if it had been by a stranger. So when I tell you he was under the influence of cocaine and alcohol, he did it twice. And the first time he had no clue, and the second time he had no idea. But I can tell you, I used to sit, and I was born and raised Church of God in Christ, so I'm aware you don't question God. You accept his will, because really, what else can you do? You have to accept God's will. I accepted God's will. I knew that at some point something had to come out of everything that I was going through. And dare I say, here I am today. And when I say I'm here today, it's in more ways than one. It's to be able to talk to you so that other women can hear, to be able to teach my students, to be able to help people get their books and things. And that's exactly why I tell you that there is no greater God than the one we serve.
Amen. Wow, that's awesome, Therese. Yes, indeed. God is an awesome God. He allowed you to come out not even having any signs of what you've been through. But you carry the scars, so you know, and you've got a testimony, experience that you can pass on. My question to you, though, is why do you feel, and I know you can't answer for all of the women of the world, but you can answer for those that you represent. There's a lot of people that's going to be just like all of us, right? So why do you think that women stay in relationships where they are being abused?
That is a question that I get all the time, and it is a question that you know, people have asked me, and the one thing that I can tell you is that you don't know everyone's situation. In my situation, it wasn't so much about the money. My ex-husband is a computer programmer. He is extremely gifted in that. And way back in the, I would want to say the early 2000s, he was making well over $250,000 a year. With that being the case, I ended up leaving my job because our son was being bullied at school. And, you know, I think back, and there was for the longest time, I said, oh, I hate that I hate that I left my work and making my own money, because I was making good money myself. But when my son, you know, women, you guys who have children, you know, your children come first. And one day he suggested that, you know, I stop working so that I could be home with him, and if need be, that we could homeschool him. Well, as time went on, that was just one other dagger that he used. It was control of the money. Eventually, it got to the point where he convinced me that I would never be able to make it on my own. I would never be able to make enough money to survive by myself. So I was already just so down on myself, believing the things that he said about me, feeling like I was worthless, because he told me that several times, that I was worthless, I was not going to be able to make it on my own. And there he was giving me a quote-unquote allowance. So it wasn't about the lifestyle itself. It was the fear that I wasn't going to be able to make it on my own. I know many women who stay because for their children. And for a while, I was like, I want my child, because I grew up in a two-parent household, and I wanted my child to grow up in that situation. But what I tell women now that I know better, the best thing that you can in that marriage is get that child or those children out of there. They don't need to see that. Because what I like to remind them of is that those little girls that see it, they're going to be like, Mama took it. That it must be right.
Exactly.
Little boys who see
Yeah.
Little boys who see their fathers abused, they're going to be like, Daddy did it. Mama took it. So that's why I'm like, get the children out of there. I don't care that you don't have the money. You may not have the money to go. But I can tell you one thing. You need to have the sense to go, because pretty soon, if you're gone, I will tell you, like my girlfriends told me after I had that aneurysm, they said, Teresa, if you would have died, he would have buried you, cried a week, and went on and found somebody else. So I remind
you. So, Teresa, that's right. I agree with you.
What you need to do is get your children out of there. They don't need to see that. They don't, because they won't forget.
I totally agree. Well, it was good to hear you share that, because, you know, I have a similar story, and it's kind of like I'm looking at the similar traits in the abuser. They definitely want to have an advantage over you. And if it's money, it's kind of like a strong advantage, because you need money to get another apartment. You need money for your sustenance every day. And so if they take that away from you, then, of course, you know, they feel that they have that kind of power. And, I went through the same thing, quit my job, the same thing. So I can really relate to everything that you're saying. And, yes, the lesson now to share with women is, stop trying to make a two-family household if it's not going to be a safe place. It is not that important to have two people raising a child if it's not going to be a safe zone. You know, because when it gets unsafe, it can become knives, it can become bullets. You know, you can get pulled out of there in a body bag. You know, you have to leave while you can walk away, not be pushed in a wheelchair, not be taken on a gurney, but when you can literally walk away. And that would be the lesson that I would pass on as well. Absolutely. Yeah. But I just give God praise for the fact that even though you went through, and I guess the grief was so heavy on you, the stress was so heavy, and we don't just grieve people who die. We grieve marriages that die, too, sometimes.
Exactly.
So it was very, very heavy, and it took a toll on your health. But God restored you, and that's amazing. That's awesome, and that's worthy of praise. Amen. To God be the glory.
It is.
So what was your turning point in getting your life back?
You know what?
How
a lot
did
of
you
people,
do that?
A lot of people ask me, they're like, what made you divorce him? Well, here's the deal. I didn't divorce him. He came in and said that he wanted a divorce because he said, well, Tree, there's been so much muddy water under the bridge. I just know that you can never forgive me. And by that time, with God as my witness, I was so numb and I was so tired. I will never forget the day that he told me. I became angry immediately, not because he wanted the divorce, but because it was my baby's senior day. I knew that everything was going to be ruined. I knew that everything was going to be ruined. But the one thing that I said to him, I said, give me the papers and let me sign them now. It would take another 6 months for him to give me those papers for us to, you know, so we could get the divorce underway. And I will tell you this. It was one of those cases where if you've ever seen a bird that has been housed and caged its entire life, if you open that door, that bird does not know to fly. That is exactly what the case was me. When he, I could have filed for divorce long ago. A lot of people are like, well, you should have been the one to walk away. No, God did not put my steps. He didn't order my steps that way. I walked when God told me to walk. I walked when he told me to walk. And when I tell you the relief of that thing, I can't even, I didn't even go to court for the hearing. He flew back in from Baltimore. He went to the hearing. And I remember he came back home crying and everything. And you guys, I was so numb by that time. He had called me to let me know he was on his way back. And I literally asked him to stop and get me a biscuit. That is just how detached I was from everything. And again, letting go, I went through that phase after the divorce. It's like, could I have done this? What should I have done? Could I have done it? But you know what? I had to remind myself, I did everything that I knew to do while we were married. I did everything that I was supposed to do. I tried to be a good wife to him. But it just, and I'm sorry, I have to slow myself down here. When I say that those things are not ordained by God, they are not going to work. I have enough sense to know I'm a woman enough to admit that marriage was never ordained by God. It was what I wanted, so I made it happen.
Yeah.
And it just happened to be that God was like, you know what? I'm going to let you take your hard head right on in there. And before it was over, I had to pray my way out of it. But sure enough, here I am.
So you were able to move forward. You didn't have a job. How did you get on your feet?
It took a while. It took a long time. But then I had every single day. And this is why you need a support system. You need a strong support, people that can tell you, yes, you can. You can get back on your feet. You can do this. And my mother, by the time all of this went down, my mama had dementia, and she was very few days was she cognizant and aware. But my sisters, my friends near and far, they pushed and pushed and pushed, reminded me, and I began to remind myself, Teresa, you've been on your own before. You know how to do this. You know how to do this. I had to remind myself of the things that I carried during that marriage, during those 19 years. I had to remind myself of the things that I taught him to do. And eventually, I just decided, you know what, I'm done. This is, and my mother, again, I mentioned her as often as I possibly can. My mama was married at 13, widowed at 14. My mother did not know anything about the fun life or whatever. My mother has always told me, you cannot sit around and cry. She said, you better cry a little bit, get a napkin, wipe your nose, and keep it moving. And that is exactly what I've done, and that's what I try to help other women do. Pick it up and keep going. I'm not telling you not to be sad, but you definitely cannot wallow for too long.
Right, right, absolutely. So with the remaining minutes that we have, a tremendous journey you've had, with the remaining minutes we've had, tell us about your move to going back to school and getting your job in as a professor?
That was one of those really, really weird things. I saw a banner for Southern New Hampshire University, and they were like, you don't have to have a degree in the field to get your master's. And I was like, okay, let me see. So I wrote a purpose statement, and within 3 days, they were like, congratulations. And I was like, for what? And the only person I told was my nephew. And I said, I'm enrolled in grad school. And he was like, I know. He said, I knew you were going to do something. He said, you'll be all right. And sure enough, 3 years later, just shy of 3 years, I earned my master's. And I prayed to God to bless me for the job as an educator in higher education. I applied for a couple of places, and actually I will be starting full-time professor work at Southern University in Shreveport in the next week. And I have been working online at Columbia College. So I can't even tell you how blessed I am.
So are you in Louisiana?
I am.
Okay, awesome. I didn't know that. I didn't remember that.
I am.
Well, that's awesome. Well, congratulations to you on your journey and all of your wins. Beautiful, beautiful, comeback to a very devastating situation. And how is your son, and what is he up to?
My son is 14 years old, and he, like I said, he lives in Dallas, saw everything. He remembers everything, but I've prayed my child through, and he does not harbor he's not walking around mad about everything. He actually started work with his dad today as a programmer. So God has a way.
That he's been your son's life, and that your son and he have a good relationship. As we wrap up, Therese, I want to say thank you for sharing your story. It is a story where other women can glean from and learn, understand the signs, and understand, situations get crazy when they try to put themselves in a control situation and put you in a situation where you don't have control. That's a sign. Okay. That's a sign that, something is just not working well. And maybe need to get some help, get a handle on it, get a mediator, get a counselor, or what have you. You mentioned the drug situation. Be careful with, saying I do to men who do drugs, because they lose their own control to that. That is the controller. We must really be careful with that as well. And if you have children involved, another lesson is don't stay in a situation where you could be killed or your child could be hurt because you're trying to have a two-parent relationship. We want to get all those lessons out loud and clear. Pay attention, ladies. Pay attention, sisters. We would love to have someone in our lives that love us and that honor us, but guess what? It's not going to always be the case, especially if you don't ask the Father if this is the one, and hear with your inner ear what Holy Spirit is saying to you. And my final question for you is, what other lesson would you like to leave, or tips, anything concerning going forth in purpose, getting out of tight situations, trusting God through your trials? What one thing that you could leave, or two or three tips, lessons that you've learned on your journey that you can leave with sisters who may be listening today?
One thing that I want everybody to understand, and it's not even about domestic violence, listen. When you pray, ask God to guide and lead you, be quiet and listen. Just because you ask him and then you come up with something, that's not him speaking. Learn to quiet yourself, quiet your spirit, and wait for him to guide you, and he will. That is the one thing that I had to learn, because I was quick to drop down the air and pray, and then when I got up, let me start packing my bag. He didn't tell me to go back anymore. Close your mouth.
Yeah.
Open your mind and hear him. That is just the one thing that I encourage strongly to do.
I totally agree with that. That's awesome. Well, Ms. Therese Shine, thank you for sharing. I'll be back in touch. I give God the praise for you, for
thank
your
you.
Breakthrough, for your deliverance, for your healing.
even for your success, winning at life. As I leave, though, I'd like to leave this positive affirmation with you all from the young and the talented Miss Amanda. She said, love yourself and overcome social discrimination by reprogramming your mind in 31 days. Break down everyday insecurities and bring out the queen in you. I pray you have been helped today in some way, been inspired even. And I thank God for my guest, my awesome producer, Ms. Kimmy Kim. If you'd like to reach out to me, send your email to LorettaReviews@gmail.com. That's LorettaReviews@gmail.com. And until next time, remember, we are a positive voice with positive vibes and positive vision right here at the Loretta Petite Show, Women Winning at Life from Ministry to Marketplace. I'm Loretta Petite. May God continue to bless you. Until next time, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Me a while to get to this place. I'm so glad I'm in this phase, accepting all my flaws, embracing authenticity, 'cause there's nobody quite like me.